You're listening to another episode of Power Pearls Podcast. I'm the host, Karagat Warner, and it's my mission to share those stories that celebrate our passion for making and yarn crafting and what keeps us going down that path. This episode is brought to you by the Power Pearls community on Patreon. If you love the podcast, you can show your love by supporting the show. And when you do, you get bonus episodes, audio workshops that inspire intentional living through yarn crafting, and weekly mini-sodes delivered every Monday to inspire your week ahead. To learn more about supporting the podcast, visit PowerPearlsPodcast.com/community. Now on to the show. Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Power Pearls Podcast. I'm Karagat Warner, host of the show, designer, coach, and your cheerleader on your yarn crafting path. Every 2 weeks, I bring you episodes to help you knit with intention and confidence. You can subscribe and listen on Stitcher, iTunes, or your favorite podcast player to subscribe to the show. So today I'm going to put on my editor's hat because I want to talk about designing for magazines and if it's right for you. I'll review three overarching areas you should consider before sending your first proposal. Then I'll leave you with a few final tips. Okay, so let's dive in. So let's take a look at number one, which are the benefits. Sometimes it can be tempting to take an opportunity that comes our way, hoping that this magical thing called exposure will suddenly turn us into a superstar. So, you know, exposure is a really great asset to your design business, but it isn't always worth doing something if exposure is the only benefit, because let's face it, we need to make a living. So let's talk about the next benefit, and that is payment, right? So this is definitely a benefit. So something to, you know, consider. You might want to ask how they pay, like what is the publication willing to pay, and how long will it take you to complete the design? And then you can work the numbers. And if they work out for you and you're happy, great. If not, there'll always be another magazine. And I want to add to this by saying it's also about the marketing piece. So you've got the exposure and the payment, and you have to kind of weigh both and decide. This is like a calling card, and it is part of a marketing plan as well. So the icing on the cake, in some respects, can be the payment. So it depends on how you want to work this in your own personal business plan. So connection is another major benefit that's a little bit harder to define. Sometimes when you complete a design for a magazine, that leads you to a connection with the magazine's editor, tech editor, or yarn company, or even someone who reads the magazine and they absolutely loved your work. So keep your eyes open for opportunities to form connections each time you collaborate with an organization on a design, because you never know where these connections could lead, because they could definitely turn into greater opportunities down the road. And I've often said this in past episodes, you know, you can become that go-to person if, you know, you're working with a magazine, and try to think one step ahead of the editor. Try to solve their pain points, what it is that they need, and try to fill those holes. So sort of looking into your crystal ball and figuring out what that is, because if you can be a step ahead of the editor, who, by the way, is very busy, I know this from experience, having been the former executive editor of Creative Knitting Magazine. So if you can solve a pain point and also be a little bit of an innovator and say, you know, aside from sending in a pattern, because the truth is patterns have become a bit of a commodity. So if you can offer something additional beyond the pattern, the editor will be very excited to work with you. And then those opportunities will come your way naturally. Okay, so let's talk about the next thing, and that is rights. So number two is rights. So this can be a tricky area for a lot of designers and for publishers as well. There's all different kinds of scenarios out there. So designing a pattern, and I'll just kind of start with the kind of the fundamentals. So designing a pattern for a publication means that the rights to publish the pattern belong to the publication, at least for a time. Now, let me explain. So first rights means that the magazine has the first right to publish your design, and then eventually the rights revert back to you. All rights means that the magazine owns all rights forever to the pattern. But in some cases, depending on the magazine, all rights can also mean something different than that, where perhaps you get royalties as well. And then there's something called one-time rights. This is usually provided, magazines will provide this or allow this with yarn companies, because in many cases, a yarn company may have a design in a magazine that has already been published in that yarn company's collection. This is just, you know, sort of something you could put in your back pocket, not something that you would need to know as a designer, but it's good to understand the structure of the rights and how they revert, or if they don't revert back to you down the road. So you want, if you do know that they will revert and the editor shares that information, it's always a good idea to keep a note of that date in your calendar so that you can republish this design and add it back into your own collection and then launch it all over again when the time comes. And bear in mind that the photos that are taken by the publisher do not belong to you. So if you republish a design in your own collection, you must take your own photos. So if the rights never revert back to you, that is not necessarily a bad thing. Remember what I said earlier about this whole thing of being a calling card and part of your marketing plan? So it's, again, you just have to weigh the options or weigh the situation. You just want to be sure that even in this scenario, you're comfortable with the payment and exposure you'll receive from the magazine. Okay, so now I'm going to talk a little bit about fit. So this is number three. Now, in this case, we're not talking about the fit of the garment. That's a whole different episode. I mean, the fit between you and the publication that you hope to design for. So each publication has its own unique style and aesthetic, and they have style guides. So the best thing for you to do is to really study the magazines that you're interested in working with. Study the way that the patterns are written, request the style guide or the designer guidelines. And you can get those by going to each of those publications' websites to download all the little details about how you should format your pattern, how you should use abbreviations, and so on and so forth. So it's important that you seek to publish your work in magazines where there is a good fit on both sides. Does your work fit in well with that magazine? That means not only is it more likely that you'll be accepted, but also that the audience for the magazine is more likely to be the right audience for your work. So that is really something to consider. So if you don't feel on fire, you know, you don't resonate with that magazine, then you may want to, you know, think twice. Or if you really want to think, okay, I want to get into this business and I'm going to, you know, more or less adjust how I'm going to write a pattern and conform to that magazine's style. So it depends on what you really want to do. So my advice is to think like a business person. And before you submit to certain magazines, really understand what they're all about and tailor your proposal and your design submission. Same things, by the way, proposal, you hear the word proposal and design submission being thrown around. Same thing. And basically, you just want to fit the flavor and the tone of that publication. So that's, you know, in a nutshell, these three things that, you know, are the overarching items So basically, that's it. In a nutshell, these three overarching things that you really want to pay attention to when you just right before you begin to create those proposals and really understand, ask yourself a lot of these questions too, because there are some questions in there, and then decide where you want to go. So if you're ready to design for a magazine or you're hoping to have more success in this area than you've had in the past, I'm going to share some final parting tips with you right now. So there are three. So number one tip is keep trying until you get a yes. You've heard that before, right? So just, you know, you hear no a lot. Well, think about all of those authors. Have you ever heard that those stories about, you know, those successful authors or people that are in the business space that have, you know, received 100 rejection letters before they got a yes? This is a really important thing to remember. Keep trying until you get a yes and keep going. Even if you don't want to do it, try. Just sit down and focus on, you know, if you have a theme day where you decide today is the day that I'm going to work only on sending in submissions to magazines, then just really dig into this and just keep going. Keep chugging away. So being turned down by one magazine or 10 isn't a sign that your work isn't good enough. It just means that you weren't a fit for the magazine in that particular issue. And it's not that you're not a right fit. You know, I want to kind of rephrase that. It just means that your design, maybe it didn't fit a theme. And I just want you to know from the editor's standpoint that, you know, an editor gets so many submissions and usually, you know, there's a theme, right? So if you're sending in cables, you know, a sweater with cables for a summer issue, your chances for acceptance are pretty low. Unless, of course, they are looking for cables that are, you know, sweaters that are made, you know, loose cables with, you know, made with open work. I mean, I'm just making that up. But it's not, you know, it's probably something that I did in the past in creative knitting. But really, really tune in to the, you know, what the themes are, and also the season, because knitting magazines are like fashion magazines. So you want to really make sure that you're tuning into that and you understand the trends. Really take time to understand the fashion trends, not just what's going on in knitting, but both knitting and fashion. So if you guys remember my episode with Trisha Malcolm, she's been on the show a couple times. You can find those episodes just by going to powerpearlspodcast.com and then clicking in the search bar, just write Trisha. You know, that's a big part of what she does as an editor. And she will research the mainstream trends, the runway trends, and then see how knitting fits into that equation, because in many, many cases, knitting is also a big part. Knit is part, a big part of the runway. So that takes, you know, time and energy. And if an editor is taking that time and energy to create these trends for that magazine for the season, then it's in your best interest to tailor your submission to that, because your chances are only higher for acceptance. Okay, and the second tip is be professional. Put together a nice portfolio of your work. Now, of course, Instagram is a great place to call that a portfolio, an online portfolio that you can lead the editor to and make it look amazing. You know, make sure that you know how to take great photos. If you're not sure, study what people on Instagram are doing with photos. Hey, it's that easy. Maintain a professional website or at least a detailed Ravelry profile and present your proposal in the format they ask for in the submission guidelines. Really important, you guys. So don't send an email. Don't send your submission in an email, in the body of an email, and send attachments, several photo attachments. You'll make the editor crazy. The best way to do it in many, many cases, and I'll tell you with creative knitting, but also make sure you're doing it in the format that they ask. But most magazines would like a tidy PDF with all your images and the copy and the skill level and the yarn suggestions all in one PDF, period. And by the way, usually you don't send your submissions to the editor. So just be aware, if you happen to know the editor's email, don't send them your submission unless they asked you to, but usually there is a submissions email that you can send your work to. So follow that. It's usually in the guidelines and it will make their life easier and happier and yours too. And your chances again will go up for getting chosen. Okay. So number three is diversify. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Submit proposals to more than one magazine and also try to work on maybe self-publishing your own patterns or working on other projects. But beware. If you are diversifying and you are sending designs out to more than one magazine, you must send different submissions. So different designs to different magazines. You cannot send the same design to a different magazine at the same time as another magazine. I hope that makes sense. So you have one design, one proposal. You can't take that one proposal and submit it to Creative Knitting, Vogue, Interweave. You can't do that, or you will be in danger of being blacklisted. And this is a real thing. So just be aware of that, because I know with Creative Knitting, I put a little kind of little disclaimer that said, if you're not chosen 45, if your design is not chosen 45 days after the submission deadline, then you are free to submit this to another publisher. And most guidelines will clearly state that you cannot send this to another publisher or that it has been published. That's another point. You don't, this cannot be a previously published design anywhere on your website or online. So something to just really bear these things in mind. So by diversifying, and you really kind of have all these designs, create a tickler file, whatever you need to do, but then your entire financial system isn't dependent upon one design or one magazine. So turn this into a system, into a process, into a business process. And by the way, if you're going to start submitting, this is a little, I guess a bonus tip, but it's something that, it should come later. It should come eventually in your business. Okay. And that is to not knit your own samples. I know you're probably going, what? I love knitting. Well, of course you do. But you could be in danger of not liking knitting if you do all your own sample making. So again, if you are going to be in business and you want to make this part of your business model, it is a good idea to eventually farm out your samples. But this comes with understanding how to actually write a pattern, design, do your swatches, design a little bit on the needle, and then send it out to a sample maker. This is a skill. And it's something that, yes, you will have to learn. Again, maybe another episode altogether. But, really, you definitely want to try to farm it out once you feel confident in your pattern writing abilities. And you know what? If you find a sample maker that's really good, it's really important to find one that can spot a problem and understand, instead of if there is an error in your pattern that they're just stuck and confused and they don't know what to do. You can have that kind of going on both sides, because someone that's stuck and doesn't understand what to do next can also be, obviously, you're going to go and check the pattern and say, maybe I should write this a little bit differently. But someone that's also a sample/test knitter is a good person to have, because they will be, they're a little bit more in tune with, if there could be some problems in your pattern writing as well, and make suggestions. So that's it, you guys. So those are the final tips. And if you'd like some help planning your path to magazine publications, or you want someone to evaluate your proposals and see if they can be improved in any way, well, I just want to let you know that I'm here to help. So as the former executive editor of Creative Knitting Magazine, I've got a few tricks up my sleeve. So I would be happy to share them with you. So go ahead and book a consulting session with me. It's free. It's totally free. So if you go to powerpearlspodcast.com/free strategy session, you can see all the details and decide if, you know, we can decide together if a coaching program is a good fit. And it's a 30-minute session, and it's for those of you that are really serious. You really want to take this to the next level. I would love to sit with you and talk about some of those possibilities. All right, you guys. So that's it. I mean, we're done, and I hope you enjoyed this. Again, you know, you can listen and also subscribe to the show, to Power Pearls, on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast player. And if you guys have a moment, please hop on over to iTunes and leave a review for the show. I would really appreciate that, because the more reviews, the more people get to see the show, getting into those awesome algorithms over there on iTunes, so that people can actually find this show and benefit just like you guys did today by listening to this episode. So with that, I will leave you, and I will see you next time. Take care.